We sing a lot of different songs that express our reliance upon the Lord. We sing a song called Does Jesus Care? That's in our songbook. There's another song that we've been learning, Till the Storm Passes By. And then the one that Bruce just led us in, Tell It to Jesus. As we look at these songs, there's obviously a lesson that we are, as he referred to in the preliminary remarks, as we are to teach and to admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There are lessons in these songs that are good for us to learn. I want to focus our attention not on the one that Bruce led, but on another song that's very common to us. Does Jesus Care? We're talking about the power of prayer. When we have troubles and difficulties and problems in our life, sickness, health issues, age issues, loss of loved ones, when things are just simply not good, trials, temptations, what do we do about that? Some say, well, what I need to do about that is I need to take more medicine. And that's not always the answer. Now, I understand there are health issues that require medicine. I get that. That's not our point. But I'm talking about the power of prayer. We all have experienced joy and happiness. Great anticipation sometimes in life simply turn to the sudden reality of tragedy and we're disappointed. Sometimes the hurt is so great and lasts so long that we feel that we're alone. Anybody ever been there? Abandoned. And I don't know, during this time of coronavirus, I've been doing some reading about that, and some say that suicides are at an all-time high, or certainly at a very great high, because people feel alone, feel abandoned, and that's their reaction to some of the isolation that we are experiencing. But to experience some of those things and to indeed feel that there is no comforter, there is no one to talk with, there is no solution, there's no remedy, certainly would be a point of despair. The fellow that wrote the song that we're talking about in our study this morning, Does Jesus Care? His name was Frank Ellsworth Graith. He lived about 1860 to 1919. Learning a little bit about the songs and the songwriters helps us, I believe, to sing in the spirit and with the understanding. Helps us to teach the lessons of the songs. This man was born in a coal mining town in Pennsylvania in 1894. Graith, it is told, especially loved children. He enjoyed telling stories and making children laugh. But in spite of all of that, he became sorely troubled by doubts and depressions. Some sources say that he and his wife had no children. Indeed, there is great joy in children. But with the coming of children, there comes also the possibility, certainly the potential, of great hurt and disappointment. Mr. Graith, or Graith, I believe his name is pronounced. Some have suggested that he and his wife did have one daughter. If you've ever watched any movies of that time frame about the period of the Civil War to the turn of the century, we know that women during that time wore long, frilly dresses. It's reported that one day she was wearing, his daughter that is, a floor-length dress with many layers of lace and frilly, and she was standing in front of the fireplace. And the fireplace spit out a coal and caught her dress on fire. And just in a moment of time, she was consumed in flames. It's reported that Mr. Graith sought to find some comfort in the tragedy that he and his wife had experienced. And he turned in his Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5 and read verse 6. which says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your anxiety upon Him, because He careth for you." And he sat down and wrote this song, "Does Jesus Care?" That was copyrighted in 1901. A song that's old, but no doubt one you're well familiar with. I want to consider for just a few moments in our time this morning, this afternoon, the verses of this song. The first verse, you have these in your notes, says, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long?" There are some burdens that cause so much emotional pain and mental anguish that there just doesn't seem to be any relief. Any of you ever been there? Perhaps the loss of a loved one, in this instance, as this man lost his child. Difficult times. We read about such grief in the Bible. In the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 37, Jacob had been told that his son Joseph was dead, that he had been eaten of a lion. Jacob believed that his son was dead. And the Bible tells us that he rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. For he said, "For I will go down to Sheol to my son mourning. I'll go to the grave mourning the death of my son." Now we know that Jacob thought the world of his son Joseph. He had made for him the coat of many colors. And to the extent that his brothers hated Joseph, they allowed their father to believe that he was dead. It wasn't for 22 long years that Jacob found out that his son was not dead, but he had been in Egypt all of this time. And it took a whole lot of convincing him to believe that his son was yet alive. For 22 long years, Jacob had mourned the loss of his son. We read also in our Bible of another man who lost his son. This man's name was David. You recall that David had a son named Absalom, and there was lots of family trouble in David's family. We know that one of his sons committed incest with his daughter. We know that Absalom, for 2 long years, lay in wait for an opportunity to kill his brother Amnon. And then, at this point in the history, David's son Absalom desired to take the kingdom away from his father and begin to lay plans to win over the loyalty of the people away from his father. And the Bible tells us that in order to take the war away from the city of Jerusalem, that David, on his march to a city named Mahanaim, went away with his head covered. And the text tells us that he went weeping away from the city of Jerusalem. There was a man who was an Israelite whose name was Shemaiah, and he cursed David and cast stones at him as he left the city. When word finally came from the captain of David's army, Joab, that Absalom had been defeated in battle and Absalom was dead, David said, "O Absalom, my son, my son, my son Absalom, I would I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." The Bible tells us that the king covered his face and the king cried with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, my son, my son." You can hear in the words that David uttered the grief in the heart of this great king. He had lost his son. David wrote many of the Psalms, and it's almost as if he was writing to himself when he wrote in Psalms chapter 55. In verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's another verse in the song that we sometimes sing. Does Jesus care when my way seems dark? When the nameless dread, with the nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? I know that many of you have been very sick in times gone by. Having experienced some of that myself, do you ever dread for night to come? In the middle of the night when you're feeling your worst, and you're looking at the clock and watching the minutes go by ever so slowly, don't you wish from time to time you had the power to make it morning? Because things just seem better in the morning. There's a character in the Bible who suffered greatly. His name was Job. We know that Job had everything of a physical nature taken away from him. He lost his flocks, his herds, his wealth, everything was gone. And then he lost his health. His own body was smitten with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. And as we read about Job, there's a point in his despair that Job reached what I'll call bottom. And Job began to question God. And the irony of that occasion was, God began to ask Job some questions. Even in the midst of his despair, Job needed to stop and think. Sometimes we need to do that too. In Job chapter 38, God said to Job, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel," verse 2, "by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me." Job, I've got some questions for you, and I demand an answer. Now, how many of us would appreciate anyone talking to us like that when we're already depressed, when we're already discouraged, when things are not going well for us? And then God said to Job, "I'm going to ask you some questions and I demand that you answer." And I want you to look with me for just a moment at some of the questions he asked Job. In verse 4, "Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who determined the measures thereof if thou knowest? Or who stretchest a line upon it, whereupon were the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as it had issued out of the womb? When I made clouds the garments thereof." And he continued to ask Job question after question after question. But as you drop down to verse 13, he said, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days began, and caused the day spring to know its place?" I'll tell you, folks, sometimes during our darkest hour, when we're sick and things are not well with us, we'd give anything if we could just make it day. But we can't. God asked Job, "Can you do that? Can you turn the blackness of the night into the morning?" No, Job could not do that. But we know who can. You see, the laws concerning day and night, God made that. He made it a long time ago, and Job couldn't do anything about it. Even in times of sickness and death, does God promise that he will be near? All of us have experienced the loss of loved ones. Some of you more recently than others. Some of you have experienced loss of loved ones due to the coronavirus. Some of you have lost more than one. The thing that I want us to remember is that as David wrote in the 23rd Psalm, He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." Now you think about that, brethren. Does Jesus care? Even when the darkness of night prevails upon us, even when we're sick, even when we're facing the valley of the shadow of death, David said, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." We also want to note in verse 3, which is not in some song books, but it is in ours, does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long. Brethren, have you ever been disappointed in yourself? Said or done something for which you were ashamed? And you wonder how in the world God could ever be pleased with me again after what I've done. I'm persuaded that maybe that's the greatest grief, knowing that we have disappointed the Lord. I heard a young man pray one time, more than once, asking God to help us to live in such a way that He would be proud of us. I'd never heard that expressed that way before. I began to reflect upon that, and I said, you know, the Bible teaches that. And we can read about that in Hebrews chapter 11 as the passage describes the faith of Abraham. And Abraham looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And the text tells us that God was not ashamed to be called His God. Well, what does that tell us? If He was not ashamed to be the God of Abraham, then He was proud of Abraham, because Abraham had displayed an attitude that was pleasing. Sometimes, my friends, we mess up and we disappoint ourselves. Does Jesus care during those times? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as man can bear." He tells us that with the temptation He will provide the way of escape. Interestingly enough, immediately prior to Jesus' arrest, He said to Peter, "Satan asked to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I made supplication for you that thy faith fail not." Peter's response to that was, "Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death." Sounded good, didn't it? But we know that the Lord responded and said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day until thou shalt deny three times that you even know me." Indeed, before the morning came, the Apostle Peter had denied the Lord three times. And the Bible says, immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and he went out and wept bitterly. Can you imagine that kind of disappointment in yourself? Concerning David and his sin with Bathsheba taking another man's wife, David said, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." And then he acknowledged, "For thou delightest not in sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou hast no pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Our grief sometimes caused by our own failures, it can be eased through forgiveness, but forgiveness must be preceded with repentance. And repentance must be preceded by godly sorrow. David's sin could be forgiven, but David's heart was broken that what he had done had been an offense to God. The song that we sing, "Does Jesus Care?" Does He care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it aught to Him? Does He see? The loss of a loved one, yes, that causes pain. It causes us to cry. Jesus is not unfamiliar with that feeling. We know that when Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, the Bible tells us that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him? Where is Lazarus?" And they said unto him, "Come and see, Lord." And the shortest verse in the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. He had lost a beloved friend. It grieved him to see the sisters of Lazarus cry and be in such grief. The Apostle Paul later wrote to comfort those who had lost loved ones, those who were dead in Jesus, dead in Christ. He said, "We that are alive are left. We shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." His point was they did not die without hope. And hope is that which gives you good courage. Yes, we all experience dark times in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we reflect upon that and say, wouldn't life be grand if it wasn't for some of those bad times? But I don't know how to get rid of them. All I know to do about it is to pray about it and try to live my life in a way that will please the Lord. We are assured that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then the writer says, "Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in time of need." Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 through 16. What do we do when times are bad? When the dark clouds come our way and we are discouraged and we ask the question, does Jesus care? You know, we've talked about the verses of that song, but I want to note the chorus of that song that we sing, if we sing all of it, four times. It says, "Oh yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long night dreary, I know my Savior cares." One of the things that I sometimes do when I extend the Lord's invitation to a group of people, such as I'm doing with this audience, I look out through the crowd of folks and I think about things that we've experienced together. Most of you know that I've been here about 30 years, close to it. Seems like a long, long time in some ways. In some ways, don't seem very long at all. And during that time, people have come and people have moved away. Some have obeyed the gospel and some have fallen by the wayside. And here we are today. As I look at you, I think of things that we have in common, things that we've shared together, your family and mine. And I raise the question, does Jesus care? Oh yes, He cares. And I'm confident that if He did not care, most of us wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here today for sure. But He does care. My friend, when we face the trials of this life, sickness, problems, loss of loved ones, things are not good in our lives, and we know they're not good, let us never forget that Jesus cares. He cares. Take it to Him in prayer. Talk with the Lord about it. But don't stop there. My friend, the Lord don't talk to you in the stillness of the night. He don't talk to us that way. Not going to be a dream. Not going to answer us that way. But His answers are here. If we want to know what He says about our problems, as Randy says, we have to get our nose in the book and read what He says. If your life is not right with the Lord, you're raising the question, does Jesus care? Had somebody asked me one time, what did the Lord ever do for me? Well, He died. He died for you. You want to tell me He doesn't care? He gave His life so that you might be saved.
You believe that's so? Jesus said to that multitude that we're studying about on Wednesday night, for except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. That's just that important. He's commanded that we must repent of our sin. I mean, stop doing the things that are wrong and begin doing the things that you know are right. Somebody said, well, I haven't slid all the way to the bottom of that slippery slope. Perhaps not. But you know how many sins it'll take to keep you out of heaven? Just one. So our point is, if you commit just one, Jesus died for you so that that might be forgiven. But you must believe that He is the Christ, repent of your sin, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sin. Now let's not underemphasize that last point. Be baptized for the remission of your sin. That is, simply immersed in water. For it's there that you come in contact with the shed blood of Jesus, and He can wash away your sins. Maybe it's your need just to do that. We invite you to do that this morning. Maybe you've obeyed the gospel and you need to repent of things that are wrong. Confess them. Call upon these good people to pray with you and for you. We'd be happy to help you any way that we can. If you'd make that known, all together we stand and while we sing.